Welcome back. I'm Pierre Daly, and this is Insight is Capital. The wealth management industry in Canada is entering what is perhaps one of the most exciting moments it's seen in years. CRM3, or total cost reporting, as it's also known, is giving advisors something genuinely powerful, an opportunity to sit across from every single client and have a structured, meaningful conversation about value and to define what that value is actually worth. Joining me today is Mario Cianfarani, head of distribution at Vanguard Canada, who have long championed the idea that transparency and cost discipline aren't constraints on great advice, they are the conditions that make it possible. And through the framework of Advisors Alpha, Vanguard has made a compelling case that the advisors who create the most value aren't doing it through product selection. They're doing it through planning, behavioral coaching, and helping clients make better decisions at the moments that matter most.
This is Insight is Capital. Join us in our fireside chats with some of the most fascinating people in finance to discuss their insights on life, markets, macro, investment strategy, and much more.
Mario, welcome, and thank you for joining me. It is great to have you back on the show.
Oh, this is great, Pierre. I appreciate you guys inviting me back, and this is a really great topic, and no better person to talk about this with.
Thank you. And likewise, we love chatting with you and catching up with you on all that you're doing. I thought we'd start with, what do you love most about the business and what you do?
Yeah, it's a great question. I think, you know, being at a firm like Vanguard and being mission oriented, you know, doing what's right for investors, you know, whether advised clients or DI clients, it's pretty awesome. It's a pretty awesome experience to be at a firm like Vanguard that is so mission oriented, you know, and it's resonating, you know, not just in the US, but across the world. Certainly here in Canada, our mission has been resonating for, you know, almost the 15 years that we've been in Canada. You know, we're not necessarily known as a disruptor, but we've come to Canada and disrupted, you know, the high cost ETF market, the high cost mutual fund market. And so it's an awesome feeling, right, to be able to do that. But then ultimately it's, you know, through what we're doing, you know, not just on the product side, but on the thought leadership side of the, of what we deliver to Canadians, you know, helping to give Canadians and, you know, the advisors the tools, but ultimately Canadians, you know, that better, you know, the best chance for investment success and helping them build really well-structured portfolios that are helping, you know, hopefully help them achieve their financial goals. So it's a pretty awesome experience. And, you know, I'm thrilled. My 11 years here at Vanguard have been pretty awesome.
I bet. It's been quite an evolution, and you know, and at the same time, the industry has been evolving in some very meaningful ways. What I wanted to get into with you today is to sort of dig into the CRM3 evolution that's happening in regulation. We've had CRM2, which was the beginning of sort of more transparent disclosure of costs to investors. The CRM3 is taking it to sort of a more complete level. What do you think are the biggest mindset shifts advisors need to embrace if they haven't already?
Yeah, we've been talking about this topic now with advisors for over a year. So we started early last year. What was interesting is we hosted a webinar for our clients last year, and you know, the reception among the advisory community was exceptional. It was one of the most well attended webinars we hosted, and I'm sure this one will be as well. And one of the things that we were talking about was, you know, this evolution of advice, and you know, some of the things that you've mentioned too, in terms of the mindset shift that I think advisors, you know, will need to evolve towards is, you know, that product-centric portfolio management to, you know, the advice-centric and, you know, the value added that they, you know, that they provide investors, you know, that holistic,
right,
wealth management and the principles that underline that. And so, you know, I think it's really, you know, that's the key shift, but, you know, what does that mean underneath that? And I think it's really about, you know, upgrading that reporting to, you know, their investors, but then it's layering in storytelling, right? And so when we get asked from head offices and home offices, you know, help our advisors develop that storytelling ability to, you know, convert those, you know, translate what the percent fees are in terms of real dollar impact to portfolios over time, you know, looking at, you know, net returns after fees, value added versus benchmarks. And so, you know, I think that's part of, you know, that's the practical side. It's really about clearly and articulating that, you know, that value. It's, you know, oftentimes the portfolio is very easy to articulate because it's there and it's in front of our screens. But it's helping advisors build that repeatable value narrative that they can then deliver to their, you know, to their clients beyond just the performance of the portfolio. And so we know that advisors sit down and they meet with their clients on a, you know, semi-regular basis to understand what their financial goals are, you know, what their hopes and aspirations are. And then, you know, they're building the plan. They're managing their taxes through tax-efficient strategies, managing risk, you know, aligning the portfolio to the goals that they've stated. And that's all the behavioral side. It's what they do exceptionally well. And so I think that's part of the, you know, evolution of advice. And I think one of the big mindset shifts that advisors will need to embrace through CRM3, through, you know, a number of the things that you've just mentioned around building out that and being able to articulate their overall value proposition. But I think those are a couple of two big things that I think will evolve over time.
If you haven't already started doing it, the time is now. The best time was last year.
Great.
The next best time is today.
Great.
right now. Yeah. So how do you see the principles of Advisors Alpha evolving to help advisors frame that conversation in practical and easy to measure ways?
You know, Advisors Alpha is well aligned towards, you know, what's happening and the evolution that we're seeing in the Canadian marketplace. And we think it's awesome for the Canadian market to sort of evolve and incorporate a lot of those principles within, you know, Advisors Alpha that we've been talking about. And so, you know, Pierre, you know, we came out with the concept of Advisors Alpha a little over 25 years ago. We celebrated its 25th anniversary last year and refreshed a lot of the thinking and a lot of the research that went into Advisors Alpha. And really what we're trying to do and what we've been doing over the last 25 years is, you know, to help to quantify what's the real value that an advisor's adding to the client's portfolio. And, you know, I think for this group and this audience, you know, it was no surprise to us that a lot of, you know, what the research showed was it wasn't through the investments, you know, it wasn't through the stock picking, it wasn't through the portfolio, you know, it was through the behavioral side. It was the intangible parts of what the advisor does. You know, obviously the industry's evolved quite a bit over 25 years, but it's what advisors do exceptionally well in terms of managing clients and those relationships. You know, it's that, you know, helping the clients stay calm, you know, helping them stay disciplined, you know, fully invested, because obviously we've seen, and you've touched on it as well as a former advisor. You know, we see a little bit of a blip in the market. Market's down 1.5 to 2.5%. Clients are calling, say, should I be going to cash? You know, I think that's where advisors come in and make sure that clients are staying fully invested, reminding them of their plan, reminding of the, you know, why they put the plan in place, and then helping them navigate through, you know, market stress. And, you know, we're certainly subject to it today and seeing what's happening from a geopolitical perspective. But those are the principles that I think that CRM3 is really going to highlight. I think it just continues that evolution within the advice space towards those, you know, the behavioral side of investment management and advice. And it's codifying, you know, those activities and that type of behavior that transparency naturally brings into the market. And so, you know, very well aligned. We think it's awesome for advisors. We think it's great. The outcomes for investors will just, you know, naturally improve over time as the quality of advice en masse increases for Canadians as a whole. So, you know, very much aligned. It's very much the story that we've been talking about for the last 25 years. And so it's nice to see that, you know, our partners within, you know, within government, within the regulators are, you know, helping to move that along. And then that's just going to spur more competitive, you know, pressures to make sure that the market continues to evolve that way. So I think it's a really great time to be in the space. And I think it's great for investors in terms of, you know, what they're going to see from, you know, their advisors.
I think when you stop and you think, you know, do clients ever walk away, or have they ever walked away from conversations feeling like any part of that was a black box that they didn't really have the ability to you know, peer into and walk away feeling like, yeah, I know what this thing costs. I know how it works, and I know exactly what to expect from it. And I'm sure there's been in the past, prior to this evolution of cost transparency, where a lot of investors probably walked away thinking, you know, I don't know how it works, but I trust my advisor you know, I trust them to make good decisions for me. And so I think when you bring the transparency measure into like this greater transparency that we're evolving into starting next year, if anything, what makes the business vulnerable is the unknown, is the uncertain, is the question mark that investors have historically had about, you know, who's running the show, who's getting paid, how much do you make from this? It's going to just lay all that to rest. And it's going to equal the playing field, between the advisor and the client, when the client knows exactly what they're paying and the advisor knows exactly what that's worth, and have the meeting of the minds for both, that does lay to rest any doubts about what is actually involved in any investment vehicle. There won't be any more mystery. It'll just be something that gets talked about, par for the course. Right.
Yeah.
And, but now, yeah, sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just going to add, like, I mean, we've seen it, you know, across markets, right? We've seen when that increased transparency, and historically, you know, as you increase transparency, it tends to correlate with higher trust, and higher client trust tends to, you know, increase satisfaction. And I think, you know, you touched on it as well. So I'm me tooing you for a moment as well. You know, I think that's exactly the hope from, you know, I would assume from the regulatory perspective, from the competitive side, in terms of bringing that level of transparency, it's just going to increase the level of trust between advisor and client. And that ultimately results in, you know, we talk about better outcomes, obviously, but the better outcomes, there's the soft, squishy part of, you know, satisfaction and the utility of that, and, you know, being able to trust that advisor in terms of what they're delivering. But then also from a client perspective, being able to demand more or, you know, satisfied with what they're getting and saying, oh my goodness, like, we are getting a lot from, you know, our advisor in terms of wealth planning. You know, they're dealing with my kids, they're dealing with my grandkids. Mm. They're, you know, I think that satisfaction portion maybe underestimated a little bit, but I think will have an outsized impact on, you know, the view of advice within the market. So we think it's very, very constructive and awesome for both advisors and clients.
You know, when you can quantify, you know, the whole exercise, first of all, and you can actually show a cost versus value, you know, imbalance where this is what it costs, but look at the value that it provides. I think when you can do that, and then you can also show the intentionality of all the decisions that are being made in the whole, you know, portfolio plus planning aspect of the relationship, I think that opens up a deeper appreciation for both parties, for both the advisor and the client. The client finally understands how things work, what they're getting, why they made certain decisions, why things were structured the way they are, why their portfolio is structured that way, why they have, you know, all these different sleeves and different costs. When you can actually articulate all of that, you know, in such a transparent way, that's incredibly valuable. I think one of the most valuable things that we've been talking about now for probably at least 2 years is the increasing importance of the subject of fee budgeting. At the very minimum, the client walks away thinking, that's really smart. You know, I'm not overpaying for anything. If the fee budgeting's done right, I know what I'm getting for what I'm paying, and I know what I need to pay in order to get the other things that I need in my portfolio, like some alternatives. I'm curious to know how you've approached it at Vanguard in portfolio construction, and what frameworks or tools you have or you know of that can help advisors to do it effectively.
Great question. I think, you know, when we think about, we obviously build portfolios, we have our single ticket solutions, and we also build bespoke models for clients and advisory dealerships. And so we have, you know, an investment framework and philosophy that we rely on, and that is the foundation through which we build portfolios. And really, it's about cost diversification and ultimately performance. And so when we think about our portfolios, fees matter. Every dollar that you don't pay in fees is a dollar that stays invested. And obviously, that dollar continues to compound over time. And so not being, subject to the market, you can't control what the market does. But you can certainly control the fees that you're paying for the products to get those market exposures. And so from an advisory perspective, it's a great way to be able to articulate that to them and saying, hey, you're keeping more of what you're earning, client, because this is what we're doing. On the diversification side, you can go out and, pick individuals, or, our founder was very famous for saying, don't pick a haystack, buy the haystack, right? And so the haystack investing, which is diversification, right. Broad-based diversification, it inherently works because it includes the stock, the big winners. Think about the Mag 7 in the S&P 500. Who would have thought, 10 years ago or so, if you did, great. But obviously building the broad diversification, it works because it incorporates those winners into the framework, into the portfolio. And then ultimately, because it's low cost and our portfolios are built low cost with broad diversification, ultimately it's about the performance. And Pierre, that's really the formula for investment success. And so as advisors think about building portfolios for their clients, if they use that foundation, I think they'll be very, very well served. You touched on it earlier. I think now's the time to review your book, right? Look at it critically and reevaluate what that product mix looks like. When you think about where you are, obviously there's going to be a little bit more scrutiny on higher MER products or funds or products that are maybe a little bit more complex and there's more layered fees. Again, if the mandate requires it and if there's a reason for it, having that conversation early is really, really critical. But obviously, when you mentioned fee budgeting, you're going to have high cost holdings, some legacy positions that have been maybe transferred in, obviously for those fee conscious advisors
and absolutely, yeah,
dealerships that are getting the transfers in from, higher cost dealerships, maybe there's legacy positions there. And so, reviewing that fee outliers, the fees of certain positions versus
sure, like,
fees, that's one of those things where you can, certainly make the change, have the conversation, and it's constructive, it's positive, it's thoughtful, it's proactive. And I think, again, we've talked a little bit about trust. It builds a lot of trust. So you mentioned it earlier. Start having the conversation now. Start looking at the book of business today, because I think that's going to be the conversation going forward.
Well, my guess is that, it's going to become very competitive, for example, if you don't go through your book and identify, the low hanging fruit would be like, if you have legacy positions that are closet indexers that you're overpaying for, like if you're going to own something that's, indexed, then you're much better off just going for, pure beta at the lowest cost and getting rid of those closet indexers out of the portfolio. Right there, that's a conversation that one advisor might have with a client coming from their legacy, their previous advisor, that immediately adds an aha moment for the client, right? So you can see where, if you haven't been paying attention to these things, it's high time you did, because there are a lot of competing advisors out there who will.
You're touching on it. What a great opportunity to differentiate, right? Not all advice is the same. Not all dealerships are the same. What a great opportunity for a dealership or an advisor to differentiate their practice versus, maybe a higher cost, competitor. And so I think that's, instead of looking at this with, a little bit of concern, these are opportunities, right? Like, mm-hmm. if you're already running a great practice, you have opportunities to take business. And maybe if you're newer in your journey in advice, or you're at a legacy dealership where, the costs are a little bit higher, it's also an opportunity to, you know, demonstrate value, demonstrate trust, lower costs, and pass some of those costs off to investors. And so I think there's both. But what I don't know that you can do is, I don't know that you can stay where you are. You know, you can't stay flat-footed. You have to react. And I think that's part of what CRM3 is doing, and what we've heard from head offices who are moving and, you know, helping their advisors do this. I don't think you can stay stagnant. And that's the awesome part of the evolution and the continued evolution of our market towards greater transparency and towards some really great things that we see in other markets as well. But what a great opportunity for a lot of advisory practices.
Absolutely. It is going to be very interesting to see how things, play out. The encouragement here, like I want to, you know, my objective is to encourage all advisors to take this very seriously if they aren't. And if you are, good on you. Because this is, you know, perhaps even a generational opportunity to define yourself, your practice. There's high value in this exercise. Mario, what's the if we just get to the bottom line? I think you know, we kind of touched on, you know, what this all means. What's the bottom line? What's in it for advisors and their clients mutually? To see to it that that transition works to mutual benefit, that it's a win-win.
Yeah, I think you touched on it. It's win-win. It's not, you know, the advisor is going to benefit versus the investor. I think there's a lot of studies out there that show, you know, when you're transparent, being explicit with your fees, and the services that you're getting, what's in it for the advisor is, and we've seen this in other markets, oftentimes they're able to justify slightly higher fees because the higher fees come with more services. And right. And I think I advise clients and clients in general, I don't mind paying as long as I'm getting value for what I'm paying. And so what's in it for the advisor is, you know, I don't want to say defensive fees, but it helps them preserve what they are charging if they're doing the right things for their advisor, for their client, excuse me, and offering a range of services that extend beyond just the investments. And so it isn't this absolute race to the bottom where I need to be at, you know, single low digit basis points on advice fees. You're being compensated and you earn, you know, what you're being paid because of all these other, services that you're providing. From the investor's perspective, knowing what they're paying and what they're getting, again, I think we touched on this a little bit. The expectation goes up, the demand goes up. So, you know, CRM3 isn't just about, you know, demanding transparency. I think it's rewarding clarity, and it's rewarding clarity on both the advisor side and on the investor side. And so the advisors who can embrace that value conversation as opposed to the performance conversation, you know, I think they're going to get rewarded. And it's not just navigating. We talked about, you know, not being flat-footed and stagnant. You know, I think they could thrive through this, you know, sort of regulatory change. And ultimately, what it all comes down to is better client outcomes. And I think, you know, advisors get into the business because they want to help. Clients go to advisors because they need to help. And so what awesome, you know, how much more awesome can you get where you're having a regulatory evolution that is going to, you know, support better client outcomes? And I think that's the win-win. And that's what's really great for Canadians. So, you know, I think there's a lot there, but I think that's the win-win for both the advisor and the client.
I'm curious, you've had the opportunity to talk to a lot of advisors, and specifically in this lead up to the, you know, to CRM3. How are top advisors using the CRM3 relevant conversations to demonstrate their advisor's alpha to their clients? What are some of the things they're doing, and what are some of the big surprises they're having?
Yeah, great question. We've had this conversation a lot over the last year and a bit. I think from what we've heard is, we've touched on it. I think, you know, the top advisors, they've already started having the conversation. They're talking about fees. They've started talking about CRM3 as an impending change or what they're going to see on their statement. we actually know some advisors in their, you know, whether it's their yearly review or, you know, when they sit down with their clients, actually getting out a pen and paper and walking them through the math of what they're going to see and the fees that they're currently paying. And so that's awesome because that's, you know, they're not, it's not, it doesn't feel like it's an obligation. Yeah. And again, it goes back to that trust. It's they're building trust before they're obligated to see it. And so before it hits that statement. And so that's one of the things that we're seeing, you know, some of the more well-established and more, you know, larger books start to incorporate. But it's also about, you know, when we talk about Advisors Alpha and that conversation, it's, you know, what you pay and what you get. And so here's, again, when you're fully transparent and you're walking them through with a pen and paper and saying, here are the fees, here's what you get, here, let me break it down for you. Again, I think clients are very happy to pay what they're getting, especially as the advisors are demonstrating that value. And so it's differentiating between here's the product costs and here's everything else that you're getting. And so that distinction between, you know, those two elements of the advice relationship are really critical. And then, you know, ultimately it's looking at, we touched on some of the, you know, types of products that are available. It's understanding how fees relate to performance and how it relates to value. And, you know, sometimes there are mandates that justify higher fees. Oftentimes there aren't. And so when you can go through and talk about fees, performance, and value, services, you know, I think that's the conversation that we're hearing from, you know, some of the larger, more well-established books. And again, that aligns with, you know, the theme through this conversation is Advisors Alpha. And that's sort of the principle that underlies what we've been preaching for the last 25 years. Let's move away from the performance of the absolute portfolio, but there's more that we need to talk about. But being fully transparent is such a great part of that relationship. And just adds so much value. And again, we talk about satisfaction. The client leaves like they paid something fair, and the advisors are earning what they're getting.
Notwithstanding that, you know, I think there's more and more very productive conversations around, you know, tax alpha, around rebalancing alpha, as well as, you know, behavioral alpha. I mean, all those are all the components that you have, you know, that Vanguard, you know, in your research, you have detailed, you know, every single year and updated as it goes along. And so for, you know, to be able to sit in front of a client and quantify those aspects and to also show it happening in their portfolios, those are very high value items that, you know, structurally add to their long-term outcomes. What are the top three elements you and your team are talking about with advisors for navigating this change?
Start early. You know, it's you don't want to be forced into the conversation. Start early. You know, review your portfolios. You've talked a little bit about, you know, the core, you know, it's core satellite, core and explore, active, passive. You know, now's the time to really be, you know, doing a fulsome review of your portfolios, those legacy positions. You know, take the opportunity. You touched on it with your last comment. You know, there are opportunities to lower, you know, significant parts of the portfolio so that, you know, strategies that do warrant higher fees, you know, don't, you know, overweight the overall, you know, average weighted MER of the portfolio. And so I think there's opportunities here as well. And then the last one is, you know, again, we've touched on it a little bit today. It's develop that story, the narrative that you're going to tell all your clients around, you know, the value that you're delivering over and above the investments. And I think that's really critical about, you know, in the next phase of where advice is going. And so those are the three real big, you know, rocks that we're, you know, helping advisors move and talking about. You know, we're almost in April, and I think there's a lot of time to do it, but, you know, that's the time flies. And so you don't want to get to January and then see the statement. And then see the statement. I think having that conversation early is the big one, that we're talking about with advisors. And to their credit, the credit of a lot of really great advisors, they already are. And that's awesome to hear. And that's awesome to see. And clients are, you know, once you have that conversation where there isn't an obligation to, obviously that obligation is coming in 2027. Again, it any sort of higher cost parts of the portfolio or services or fees, it becomes less of an issue. And, you know, that it's done in a more thoughtful way. And I think that's something that clients certainly appreciate.
Great advice, Mario. I think, you know, definitely don't wait until January, because, you know, if you think that your client's going to be happy with the change after the fact, you know, I would say think again. It's that definitely something you want to get ahead of. Mario, any other parting thoughts?
For advisory practices, yeah. You know, everybody wants growth. And here's the market's giving you an opportunity for growth. You have an opportunity to build practices to, to risk manage your own practice through this. But, you know, through any sort of change, you can either view it through the lens of, you know, concern, or look at it as the opportunity. And what we're, you know, the other big message from us and our sales executives to advisors, see this as a really, really meaningful opportunity for your practice and for your business, and ultimately for your clients. And, you know, that's the one parting thing that I think, you know, if advisors see that and do the right things, I think they're going to be pleasantly surprised if there's any sort of hesitation about the outcomes for them and ultimately for their clients.
Mario, is there any resources that advisors can turn to you for?
Yeah, certainly. You know, our sales executives are well versed in CRM3 in terms of the implications. Obviously, Advisors Alpha, we're there. We're here for you in terms of, helping you tell your story. We're doing that with head offices and dealerships for their advisory networks. If you're an advisor and you want help, we have, other resources available for individual advisors, for dealerships that we can leverage from across our partners, internal partners across the world. That's one of the awesome things about being at a, you know, $12 trillion asset manager. The resources are awesome. And so we can bring those to bear for advisors here in the Canadian marketplace. But reach out to your sales executive and I'm sure we can help.
Mario, thank you so much for your incredibly valuable time and your insight. It's been terrific as usual to catch up with you.
Pierre, this is always a great conversation. I appreciate you. I appreciate the dialogue, and I appreciate you guys inviting me on. So this has been awesome. Thank you.